Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to Motherhood, A Beautiful Nightmare.
A podcast for the mother who's flying by the seat of her dirty dog knickers. Ugh. You know you have them.
Yuck! You're the dirty dog. This episode is about great expectations.
And all the pressure and projection we put on our kids and what we get back from them.
Wait! Okay, now, from the beginning.
Motherhood, A Beautiful Nightmare.
Go, Mum! This is going to be quite fun. What are you talking about?
So I just, Chanel, wanted to talk about something that's been annoying me lately for the last couple of weeks, and I've wanted to talk to you about it.
Go on.
So, you know, cooking kids dinner every night, pain in the ass, don't like doing it.
Who does?
I know.
Wouldn't you like to walk in and there's some, like, you know, cultured, amazing chef in there just, oh, Mexican tonight, or
like Oprah has.
Yes. Real, like, high nutrition. The kids love it. They run up to her or him, give him a hug. Can't wait. You've just done none of that all day.
So anyway, no, I don't have a personal chef.
Nor do you have Oprah.
Nor do I have Oprah, sadly. Or not so sadly, depending on how you look at Oprah. But anyway, look, do you often look at recipes on the
all
net?
All the time.
Yeah, like you're scrolling through, mm-hmm. right? So often I'll find one. I'll go, great, looking up tuna mornay recipe. Fantastic.
How original, tuna mornay.
That's one of my go-tos. The kids hate it. So scroll. I get to one of these blogs and, oh, my God, how much information can you write about tuna mornay in an introduction?
Oh, don't. I swear. 20 years of scrolling, your fingers got RSI and you still haven't reached the method or recipe yet.
I'm like, I don't have time, people. Like, I'm like hurrying down. It's like literally 20 pages of, oh, my grandma made a beautiful tuna mornay back in 1973. And oh, here's what. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit about the background of it. Give me the ingredients. Give me the frickin' method. Don't pop up ads.
And she tells you she's found the recipe in like a time capsule thing with dirt on it.
Far out.
The greatest tuna mornay you've ever had in your life.
Anyway, it is so infuriating.
Yeah, it is.
And I just wanted to say that I had great expectations for those those recipe blogs, but I don't anymore. Just give me the damn recipe.
Just cap to the chase.
Everyone's a bloody foodie.
This episode is
Great Expectations.
So most parents are pretty biased towards their kids, aren't they, right?
I would say so.
Most, you know. Most. They drive us up the wall, but when it comes down to it, you think the sun shines out of their little bum bums, don't you?
Especially when they're sleeping.
Yeah, you walk in, they suddenly, like, it's like the blackboard of naughtiness has just erased. They've got a clean slate each morning. That, love you again.
That's right. You're like, oh, bless, I love you.
7 o'clock, get in bed, I hate you. Mummy doesn't. She loves you so much. That's you walk out feeling shitty because you've just not met your own expectations.
Yeah, that's right. You exactly. Know. And we are quite biased, even though we think we're not, and we try not to be. And I think that's the whole battle, isn't it?
Mm. It is. So being biased towards your child is one thing, but how about the grandparent bias towards their grandies? I mean, that's next level, right? Oh,
I think it's expected, isn't it? I
mean, they're worse.
It's rite of passage.
Yeah, it's rite of passage. So here's a story for you. I'm going to take you back to when I was 12. This isn't about my kids. This is about me.
I love it. I love little mini Chanel.
Mini Chanel.
How many can you get them now? Were you much shorter?
Oh, look, I probably was even a bit taller. I've shrunk since.
You went the other way.
Excellent. No, I didn't. So phone rings one day and it's my granny, my old Scottish granny.
Can't wait for this.
Yeah. So she rings and my mum answers the phone and she's gone through the paper and found an ad for the Look of the Year contest.
Hang on. Was this – okay, Look of the Year.
The Look this of is, the Year.
This is very Adelaide.
Isn't it?
Adelaide 1980-something.
It was 1990s, but anyway, that's okay.
I'm older.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So she's rung and she said, "We Chanel needs to go in this. She's beautiful. Get in this competition." Mum's like, "All right." She's like, "She's beautiful. Get in there." Mum's like, "Okay, I'll see if she wants to go."
By the way, your grandma so aggressively suggesting
she's aggressive. She is so aggressive.
It's a Scottish thing. You know, yeah. Come across very.
See, my mum's obviously Scottish too, and she's not aggressive. Annie's quite, you know, gentle and sweet. My granny, Kathy, is an old ox man. Granny doesn't listen to podcasts.
Okay, she's an ox.
But she's an old Scottish brute. That's what
she's
a
coo.
She's
a Highland coo.
She's a Highland coo.
Poor granny.
Anyway, oh, she's all right. She's got thick skin. She's a coo.
She's Scottish.
Anyway, so she has really heavily enforced that I need to go into this competition.
How old are you again?
12.
Right.
I didn't feel I had a choice, but I was quite up for the idea. I thought, oh, yeah, something fun. So mum's grabbed the phone and dialed the number. You know, you dial it one at a time, 824, blah, blah, and enrolled me in this competition. I've gone and done a little photo shoot and then practiced on the catwalk. Is totally. I look at me now and I think I would just know where. Look at your face.
Well, can we just go back? Can we set this up? What type of competition was it? A modelling competition?
Well, it was to find the. And this is where I think these things should be never allowed to happen again because they are so damaging to self confidence.
Yeah.
They are called the Look of the Year. So basically, they're going to pick the prettiest girl and the prettiest boy who look the prettiest.
And then what? Do what with them?
Well, they'd get a modelling contract or something because they've
Tanya
got the
Powell.
Look.
Yeah.
Tanya Powell Modelling Agency, where your dreams come true, unless they don't.
But tell me what.
And you're like me, and you're not 6 foot, and you're not really tall and thin. So, you know.
Well, you would have been sweet, a little sweetie.
Well, my granny thought I was anyway.
Oh, granny's too.
Yeah. She's beautiful, my win. Away you go. Get in there, you go.
So tell us what happened to you. What did you wear? Do you remember what you wore?
I do remember. Like, Mum was, I think we'd gone to Kmart and got some outfit or something, or I'd borrowed something out of my sister's closet, but I'd had this little, like, do you remember the brand called Dog's Body?
Wow, no. Thank God. I didn't shop it at Kmart when I was a child.
Dog's Body wasn't at Kmart. It was a streetwear brand. And it was a nice denim skirt. Well, thank you very much.
That's why. That's why I don't know it.
But I had a pair of red cool shorts and a shirt. So anyway, I looked cute.
You looked the business.
I looked the business. My hair was quite mousy too. Anyway. Bless me. My granny and my mum filled me with all sorts of self-confidence. I don't know what my mum was thinking about putting me in this competition, whether she was like, maybe we shouldn't. But anyway, granny was very forceful. I was in the competition. So what you had to do was you go to this big hall and everyone's in their seats and you have two modelling parades. You know, you've got this T-junction catwalk. You go down. You do a pose, you know, hand on the hip. Cock your hip to the other
side. Look at the judges. Don't smile. Then smile.
Yeah, then smile. Give them a smile and keep going. Turn around and then you flip your head to the side, toss your hair back, give a little another smile, hands on the hips and off you walk, exit stage left, right? So this is me.
You're a sicko.
And very out of my comfort zone because I was quite a sporty kid, so I wasn't used to like going down a catwalk.
So you ran up the catwalk. Didn't you? Look how fast I can sprint. Might not be Look of the Year, but I'm definitely Runner of the Year, guys.
Shut up.
Well, happened next? What happened? I'm dying. I'm peeing my pants.
Sorry. So they've gone through and there's a couple of these kids there that were real good looking young kids. Oh. And I'd had all my family there. So my mum's sister, my dad's two sisters, my other grandma,
oh, wow.
and my mum, my dad, my, you know, the whole kit and caboodle was
in
there.
In the audience?
In the audience. When I came out, I could hear my aunties going, "Rah, yeah, go Chanel," like this. Oh, my head's about to bust because I'm so nervous. They're all expecting me to win this thing.
Can I just ask? It's funny. They're going, "Go Chanel," but what are you doing? Like, go.
Walking down a catwalk.
I know, walking. Like, what are they saying? Good luck with the walking. Good luck with your face. Like you can do anything with it. Like,
can't change it.
Like,
yeah.
What are you? How Smile. Can you fail at this? Unless you trip, of course.
But, yeah. And I didn't trip. But anyway, got down and finished my catwalk part, sat in my seat, and then they're all leaning forward going, "You did so well, you know, thumbs up, good girl." And I was like, oh, I could win this thing. Like, they're expecting me to win.
I could really win.
Anyway, got to the point where the judges have looked at you and they've gotten their little scorecards and they've scored everything up. And I'm sat there and they're saying, "We have picked the finalists to go through for the look of the year." So there's, I think they pick about five finalists.
Wow.
To go through to actually pick the look of the year. The prettiest kid there is. Oh, what a load of shit.
Anyway, drum roll.
Drum roll. They're calling out a name. They're calling out another name. They're calling out a name. I'm sweating.
Not a good look, by the way, sweating.
No. They didn't call my name. I had suddenly felt my absolute heart sink into my stomach. This is at 12. This is a big thing, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, "I'm not pretty." All the aunties leant forward and were going, "Oh, she didn't win," like that. And my mum, I could feel my mum with her hand, and I had my eyes filling up, tears rolling down my – it's terrible.
Especially when puberty's around the corner.
Yeah, and you feel – you don't know. You're 12, you're not sure. My head is in my lap. And then I hear this two seats down from mum going, "Well, that's a load of fucking shite. Let's leave then." I'm going, "What?"
Oh, that was it. That was she great. Said.
"What load of fucking shite that was. Oh. I'm over here. Come on, Amity, let's go." Mum's like, "All right, you're the one who instigated all of this. And now we're here.
Damn
Janelle's had her heart broken. And now you want to leave."
Damn you, Gran. Oh, she sets it up and then she just pulls the rug from under you.
So I hate those competitions. So
I would. Yes, too.
Look, dancing competitions, things like that are very different because they're developing a craft, you know, to do ballet, to do jazz, to do any kind of sport. But this was purely based on your looks.
Oh, lady. So you've been carrying that around with you for a long time.
Yeah. I was like, "I'm not bloody good." And anyway, rat's monkeys. At the time, devastated. Yeah. And then Granny, old battle axe down the side, swearing in English with a real thick Scottish accent.
Carrying on like a pork bloody chop. Little Highland cow. Is this why you're allergic to cats? Maybe it's come out. That's why your post-traumatic stress has just come out in your...
But this is what I mean. This is bringing that back to what we expect of our children. I mean, putting them in a look contest. I know my mum wasn't completely comfortable with it, but I was happy to do it. I agreed. And I hope don't exist anymore because they're not great for your kids' self-confidence. But you really think your kid is the best-looking kid out there. You think your kid can really do it. Don't you?
Yeah, I think we've changed our mentality. I think that probably comes from a different, maybe we're not so focused on looks. Maybe, I mean, some people are, let's face it. But we probably do that from more of a, I don't know, I'd say an academic, or we want them to be the,
sporty.
That's
what I mean. These competitions are terrible. So they're purely based on if your face fits. And then you get a modelling contract afterwards. So modelling was never going to be a thing for me because I'm 5 foot 2 3/4 for starters.
Yeah, but you could have been a face. The face. Well, now's your opportunity.
Nah.
Now's your opportunity,
Chanel. Done. It's in the bin.
But do you think maybe it's Aussies? We're not as hung up on ourselves as maybe the Americans are big on it still, the beauty pageants, right?
Yeah, they do.
It's like a massive thing.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We just don't, doesn't quite, it might happen. I would love to know. Can you email us? At Motherhood, a Beautiful Nightmare, because I would love to know if they still exist in Australia.
Yeah, the Look of the Year contest. I still have the clipping of it.
Can you please put that on Instagram?
I will put it on Instagram.
You're going to put that up.
I'll put it up.
And we'll see it.
Done.
So in regards to our children and the expectations that we put on our kids, I mean, in everyday life, it's not just necessarily, oh, we want them to be good at this or that, but it's in everyday life and how we want to discipline them or how we want them to be perceived by other people,
yes,
right?
So literally be on your best bloody behaviour when you're out in public.
Sure.
Please.
Like where?
You're embarrassing mummy. Doctor's office.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So doctor's offices, we want kids on their, not just on their best behaviour, but to show good size. We want doctors to pick up that they're maybe a bit gifted in some areas.
Gee, I was looking at your child banging his head against that wall and throwing that truck against the wall, and I really think, wow, there's something special about your child, Chanel. I think he needs to skip a couple of grades.
So I've taken Ollie to his 2-year checkup pet appointment, just good for a once over. Anyway, I've dressed him all trendy. He's ready to go in there. And
Hang on. You dressed him all trendy for the doctor's office?
I do.
No.
How's this, right? Quick digress. We dress our kids like real trendy. They look real fashionies. And then we look at ourselves and go, what do I wear?
Yeah.
I know. Active wear.
I've got to match my child. He looks better than me.
Yeah. So the kid looks $1 million in Country Road or whatever.
With the shirt.
And we feel safe in our activewear, and that's fine.
That's okay.
It's total safe zone.
I have dressed Skylar before in something like a dress. She doesn't really love wearing dresses. I'm like, come on, you chose this dress. It's going to sit there and you're out of it.
No, mummy chose the dress, actually.
Yeah, okay. It's a different story. Now, put this dress on. She looked cute. I had her hair, how she doesn't like it, but how I like it. And then we went downstairs to get in the car. She goes, I just got to do something, Mum. I'll come back. So she goes upstairs. She comes back in a completely different outfit. Daggy jumper, leggings. It's got a hole in it with crap shoes. And she's taken her hair out, put it up, which looks terrible. And I've just gone, take a deep breath. I just went, that's what she wants to wear. What am I going to – I don't want to be that mum. Darling, go and get dressed and wear your princess outfit. No. Because – I shouldn't. And then I realised I made a mistake. I forced her to put on the outfit.
Well,
anyway, so I get the trendy thing.
I also struggle with that with Summer because she'll come in and she'll look for praise when she's got a nice little outfit on. Mm. But the outfit she's put together, again, not up to what I'm like, oh, those leggings don't match, Summer. Well, she's put a clip in and it's in like the real wrong spot, so all her hair's still in front of her face. And I've like said to her, I've managed to use seasons as a way to kind of style her a little bit more. Got summer, you're wearing a dress and it's winter. It's freezing, love. Good choice for summer time. Good choice for, you know, when it's hotter. But go in and put something warmer. So she'll go on and put a daggy ass jumper on top of the dress.
Or you just say, let's pair that with 3 singlets and a jacket and some leggings and pants on top of that and 2 pairs of socks and gloves. Amazing. Can't see the dress anymore.
We'll never win.
No, she's not getting look of the year. Anyway, so we're at the doctor's office. Ollie's looking the business.
Yeah, I've got my nice active wear on, my nice yoga pants. And we've gone in and sat down. He's sitting on his chair. I've got my backup snacks. Like I've actually got a lollipop in my bag that I've shown him, not the doctor, because it's, you know, sweetie and lollies. I wanted her to know that health.
Here's your celery stick and you can get that when we're finished at the doctor's.
Mummy will put the celery stick in the bin and you can have a lollipop if you're on your best behaviour. Bribe the whole way to the doctor's surgery as well, and then slowly bribed in the doctor, like gave him a little sneak peek of there's the lollipop. You behave. Anyway.
What happened?
Ollie's pretty quiet. Like he'll sit there most times and behave himself. Usually this time he turned into a little moron.
Oh.
He went into her waste paper basket, started pulling everything out. Then he went and
needles.
Oh, you know, they were in the other deposit.
Oh, no.
But it was, you know, used tissue. Yuck.
Delicious.
And then he'd go and crawl on the bed. Then he'd pull out the scales and he was jumping on the scales.
They love scales,
and I'm
don't
like,
they?
What is happening? And I'm looking at her smiling and I'm excusing his behaviour going, ah, he didn't have much sleep, you know, and they're a bit revved when they haven't had much sleep. And I'm literally going, what are you? And she's typing. She's typing.
Do you know what?
Looking and typing. And I'm going, what are you typing? What are you doing? Yeah, how about you give me the keyboard? I'm the best person to know his personality. I'll type the report for you. But she's looking and typing and not saying a word. And I'm going, what are you thinking about him?
She's writing a report, report.
Saying my child is an absolute nutso.
Yeah.
But I was so desperate. And then he thought after the appointment that he was deserving of the lollipop. And then he walked to the car really nicely, got in, and that was it. And I was like, what do you mean? Why are you walking out so nicely when you've been an absolute turd in front of the pediatrician?
Did you give him the lollipop though?
No, I didn't. Oh. I waited. Okay. I did wait, and then we got – but I just mean his behaviour changed when we left the doctor's surgery. It's almost like we closed that door and he thought, right, chaos, begin.
But do you think he was being naughty or just his exploring? Do you know what I mean? It's annoying as well.
It was a bit – well, it was okay, he was exploring, but – it was also, in my idea, naughty because I kept pulling him off.
And he wasn't listening. This is funnier. He wasn't listening to you.
Yeah. And yes. Then he's going and pulling the gloves out. One glove, two glove, three glove. And then handing them to me as presents. And I'm like, oh, they've been touched now. They're not sterile.
Can't use them. And you're trying to have a conversation with the doctor too, aren't you? And like, oh,
and
yeah,
she's
yeah.
smiling at me. She's doing all this. And I'm going, I swallow me up now. Like my nice yoga pants are not saving me today.
I know. When you want them to behave, they don't. I mean, it's the classic case, isn't it? We have the problem that there's a water cooler at our GPs and the kids love to go to the water cooler. Yep, and they will overflow their little cups, you know, there'll be spillages on the floor.
And Ron will sit there and be like, well, what's going on? What's going on? Discipline, step it up.
You. But the worst part was this tends to happen, inappropriate pooping. Happens a lot everywhere I go. They like to poo usually when you're having dinner out somewhere.
Just on the floor?
No, like that, I'm going to do a poo. Mm-hmm. But the poo takes ages and you're halfway between your schnitzel and you're like, I'm looking forward to eating my schnitzel, but now I'm sitting here looking at you do a poo, playing a nice bite.
Now I got to wipe some ass.
Yeah. Yeah, so many asses to wipe. But we were in this toilet and Wolfie needed to do a poo. Then Skylar needs to do a wee. And we'd been waiting for like 25 minutes already for our doctor's appointment. It takes a while to get in to this mm-hmm. doctor. You have to wait a while. We come back out and I'm going, hurry up, because we're going to miss it. What happened? We went out. They gave the appointment to someone
else. They didn't. Oh, no.
And I was beside myself because I thought timing of Wolfie needing to do a bloody poo and then I had to wait again and then
terrible.
Come in later. And I was ropeable. I was so angry. I'm like, you could have
come
and,
find you?
Yeah, that's right, because they saw us sitting there. Ooh. And then bloody Beryl's in there and she's going to probably take like bloody hours to tell him all about how she lost her teeth and she needs new ones and she's got problems with the back end and blah, 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 whatever.
And
then
and she's got a prolapse happening.
Prolapse. Oh, yeah, because she's got no teeth. So she said prolapse. I've got a prolapse. Sorry, Mrs. Johnson.
London Judgeston. I've got a prolapse.
Why does it always come back to vaginas on this show, doesn't it?
I don't know. She's in there. It doesn't matter. But I'm not happy that they gave that to someone else. That's not fair. I know what it is. I know why they did that. Because you clearly peed them off by not controlling your kids and they overfilled and spilt water all over the doctor's surgery carpet. Mm. And they've gone, I'm going to fix her wagon. While she's in there and her kids are having a poo,
that's right.
I'm going to give her appointment to Rhonda Johnson with her prolapse.
A prolapse and wait another hour for Rhonda to come back out. But you know what I did afterwards? I made them drink a few more cups of water after that appointment, didn't I? And really wet that carpet good. It was like a big soggy patch. And I was like, enjoy that, soggy patch. Secretaries, you can clean that up. Clean that up. So anyway, it's always an experience. It's never easy. Okay, so this is one thing I'm very guilty of and I think I've just gotten over it, but I tend to do this with my eldest, Skylar, who is almost 7. So she started doing violin when she was 4, which I now feel...
Why am I laughing? You're doing great, love. Keep
going.
I'll
tell you why. I said, okay, being a musician, I wanted my kids to be musicians. They don't have to be, but I want them to be. So I said to Skylar, she's 4. She just started kindy. I'm like, oh, what instrument do you like, Skylar? And she's gone, I don't know, violin? Like picked it out of nowhere. I'm like, well, she clearly loves the violin.
Yeah.
Does she know what it is? When we got one, she thought it was made of bricks. Oh, no.
No.
Anyway, but we took her to violin lessons. So she's been doing that.
You've
ever
literally
since.
Thrown her
I've
into
I've thrown
that.
Her into it. Mm. Deep down, I've thrown her into it. And look, it's fine. She's not like obsessed with it, but she, you know, she goes and it's good for her brain, I figure. I'm trying to justify my behavior.
Mm.
But I feel like I'm always pushing her to do stuff and to try stuff because it's great to get them to try stuff. But
so is she still doing the violin?
Yes.
She is.
She's still doing violin and that's fine. But the problem is.
Mum's like, she will never give it up.
She will never give it up. But the beginning of the year, I thought, Skylar, you're into dancing. Let's go try jazz ballet, right? Went and tried jazz ballet. She did like a little intro class. Good. I'm like, do you like it? She's like, yep. Not quite convinced. I'm like, great, she loves it. Bought the outfit, bought the shoes. I'm like, great, Skylar, you love it. It's so great, so great. She went to a few lessons. Then we get to like maybe the fifth or sixth. Mum, I'm really tired after school. I'm really tired. I'm like, well, that's okay. We've paid for the term. Yeah. So you're going to go. You're going to go, aren't you? She's like, but I'm really tired, Mummy. I don't want to go. I'm like, but Skylar, you signed up for this.
Yeah. You said wanted you to love do it. Remember, you love it.
You love it.
If you do it, you get a chocolate biscuit.
And then I started bribing her. Then she's so tired, she starts getting upset and crying. I'm like, oh, we organise this, Skylar. We said, if you're going to do this, yeah, if you're going to do this, I've paid for it. You said you'd do every lesson, and it went on. And she's by this time, she's having a meltdown. Oh, and then I went, who have I become? Why am I forcing her to do this?
Yeah.
It was really me in the beginning not being pushed by her. And I said, right, that's it. We're not doing anything. She goes, I told you, Mum, I just want to do gymnastics. It's all I wanted to do. I'm like, okay, we'll try gym. Now, I went into
For the term.
We did a trial. And I said, you got to let me know. So we did a trial of gymnastics. Forget jazz ballet. That's not happening. One lesson. We came out. I said, what did you think, Skylar? We don't have to do it. She goes, Mummy, I love you. I loved that. And you could tell she loved it.
Oh, bless
she
her.
She loved it. The next week, yeah, I don't want to do gymnastics. I went, right, we're not doing it. So we've dropped everything. Until she comes to me
that.
Begging, that's it. Done.
I did that. I dropped everything because I was putting Summer into this little freestyle dance thing. So I thought, I can't wait for me to take her somewhere. And then she gets right into it. And then the teacher says, she's really good. She loves it.
Oh, no, that's the worst. Here we go.
Okay.
Here
we go. This is great. No, they didn't say that at all. Oh. Summer was...
she was terrible.
She just at the back sulking and wouldn't do it without me. Next to her, and I'm like, I'm not. So I was the only parent up there shaking me tush, dancing and so sober. You need a few drinks under your belt for that time.
Imagine if you're pissed at, what is it, 4:30 p.m.
Yeah, woo, like happy feet dancing, that's what it's called. Oh. Anyway, she hated it. And I, again, paying for the term. Well, these things aren't cheap. And again, well, I've said this before in previous episode, forget the CrossFit membership because you've enrolled your kids in whatever things. It costs so much money to enroll them in all these things. And if you've paid for the term, you are going to get the most
out
of this.
You're going to finish it.
Yep. So it turns out the teacher never came up to me and said how good she is. Summer hated it. And I've gone, you know what? I'm jacking the whole lot in. And until you, exactly what you've just said, come to me and say you love something or want to do it, then we'll go from there. There's been a hint of gymnastics, but again, there needs to be that free trial. And I'm going to pay by lesson for a little bit.
Do it.
Just because I know what she's like. And then you get to the thing where you think, do I encourage them? Because you hear all these star prodigy children that have been doing things since they were like 3, 4, or 5. I'm like, well, she's 5 now.
Time's ticking.
Time's ticking, Summer. You need to find something that you're really, really
good
at.
Find it now or you're not going to be smart enough. You're not going to be talented enough and we need to make money off you by the time you're 12, okay? Seriously.
Ollie's nearly 3 and I'm thinking, do I make him go outside and kick a ball against a wall? You know, they hear about all these pro footballers. They kick balls against the wall whether they're suddenly like Pele.
Sure, I'll forget all of that. Just be like, hey, look of the year contest is coming up, kids. Then they'd have to try and do anything. Just make them look good, you know, trendy them up. And,
Jesus, wear a dog's body skirt. Anyway, look up the brand Dog's Body. It's horrible. It's got a pit bull for a face, but it was like an old streetwear brand.
I reckon that
dog's
sounds
body.
Familiar.
It had like, you know, baggy jeans and those kind of things, but they also had quite like nice tailored little denim skirts for girls too.
Okay. And that's what you wore. Look at
Well, that's probably why I didn't win.
And here's Chanel Franklin with her, except you went Chanel Franklin then, were you?
No, Chanel. You were Shinners. I was Jovanovic. I sound like a tennis player.
Jovanovic. Oh, that's perfect for a model. And here is Chanel Jovanovic.
Well, they didn't think so, did they?
No, clearly not. But, you know, maybe you could have entered the year after.
No, because then I hit 13 and then the pimples came and then that was a disaster. Yeah.
It's not happening. It's not happening. But, yeah, look, we do tend to put these expectations. And I think I've finally gotten over it. I'm going to stop doing that. Yep. Skylar's her own person. When she's ready, if she's ready, she can do it.
And you know what might happen? She might come to you later and say, Mum, why didn't you push me? Why didn't you make me stick in it? And I'm going to go, you
little
bloody
bugger.
Cried.
But, you know, that's kind of was part of it because when I was 4 or 5, I said, Mum, I want to do ballet because all my friends at school were doing ballet, joined this ballet class, did a term of it. They all quit. And I went, I don't want to do it anymore. And I regret it because I could be clearly like a really great ballet dancer.
Yeah,
so
you
could
be.
So it's always been a thing hanging. Well, I probably could have been, but at least a really good dancer. Right? Yeah. What if I kept going?
I did the same thing. I went to drama classes and I loved them, but I didn't really. I had my friends at school. I didn't really have lots of friends at drama school, so there was no like pull for me to go there when it was like an extracurricular thing outside of school. It was after school, it was late at night. My mum would drive me there, sit in the car and wait because it's in the middle of the city. So mum was waiting, or she'd be walking around town killing time for 2 hours. Like that's, you know, that's a lot.
Dedication.
Dedication. Thanks, Annie. Yeah. So I was at the point where I just jacked it in. I don't want to do it anymore. Mum's like, you sure? I'm not going to push you, but if you don't want to do it, we won't do it. I stopped it. Later on in life, why didn't you make me do drama school? Mum's like, for God's sake, like you said no.
I know. Do you know what? Also, there are a lot of kids who love to do stuff. They're high energy and they fill up their weeks and because they're happy to do gym one night, then soccer, then tennis, then – and I don't think I have – well, I don't think Skylar's like that and that's okay.
My two are not like that.
That's okay and we'll see what Wolfie's like. But I'm not pushing it. And you know what? I'm heaps less stressed. I've dropped everything except this one thing. That's fine. They're 5 and 7. I can deal.
So you're watching your kid, right? They're either at home or they're at the park doing something and they suddenly like nail something, like do a really lovely jump off the sofa or they're tackling the monkey bars like an absolute pro and you just assume straight away, gymnastics, they're going to be great. They're going to be pro. They're going to win gold at the Olympics.
You've already projected so far.
Because they've shown this one thing of greatness in this area. Or they're dancing in front of the telly and they might do a cool little move that's just landed well. They're going to be a break dancer. They're going to be a dancer. So you just assume. So then you keep pushing that bit.
Your mind goes wild, doesn't it? And I think we put them into these little boxes. We pigeonhole our kids, right? Same thing with Wolfie. He's... For some reason, oh no, I think it was the palm reader. She told me he'd be good at maths.
A palm reader's told you.
Okay.
So then you've just, that's it.
It was stuck in my head. Okay. And also he's with his English, he's not as fast as what Skylar was, right? So I'm like, clearly he's good at maths. The teacher said, oh, he's quite good with his numbers. So I'm ramping up all of this external information and creating this narrative for my son, which is very black and white, right? He's good at maths. Not good at English. He's good at sport. He's not good at that. So when they turn around and suddenly they're good at reading or they can do this or they have a problem with maths or whatever, it's like, hang on a second. When did I decide that that's how they're going to be?
Yes.
When have I summed them up?
Yes.
They're only 4 or 5 or whatever age they are. Why did I do that? There's a whole lifetime of learning and they're going to surprise me with what they can and can't do.
Like, and why? Rhonda the psychic said he's going to be a mathematician.
Yeah.
So?
Well, she did say she can see him in a business suit in a sports car and he will have followers. And I'm like, oh, no, she's going to be a cult leader. But I think she meant more from maybe Instagram.
Maybe
he will have followers. She was a bit older, so maybe she didn't quite see what that meant.
Yeah.
But anyway, look, Rhonda, we do that, don't we? Do you do that with your kids?
All the time. All the time because if Summer isn't – and she's just started school – so everything's a big first for us here.
Yeah.
So she'll be in class and she might take not as well to the sounding out of something, but then she loves counting. So then in my head I'm like, maths. And I always sucked at maths. So I was good. Your dad, Dan's great at maths.
It's the same here.
And I'm lazier since being with Dan on the maths thing. I just get my calculator out. I go, Dan, what's the percentage off of that? And I'm lazier because Dan's so good. And Dan will go, 30%.
Oh, I'm jealous of those people, Chanel.
He's in his head the whole time. And I can hear the cogs working.
I have no cogs even.
I have no cogs.
Does yours just shut down like numbers?
It does. Yeah. It's got a haze of grey.
I even looked up and thought I was not dyslexic, but there's the one if you
numberlexic.
Yeah.
No, I made that up.
You did make that up. If you have problems or the same kind of application for dyslexia they have with numbers.
Oh.
I looked up if I had this. Dyscalculus, I think, or dyscalcula or something. I'm like, I have this? Because I almost wanted to have it so I could have a reason as to why I was so crap at math.
Yeah, maybe we both have it.
No, I didn't have it. Because it meant you couldn't even read numbers in order and things.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, oh,
so we're just both a bit crap.
I'm just crap at maths. Yeah.
Is Kai good at maths?
Very. Same thing.
So you were lazy now because they are.
Lazy.
I think, well, Dan's so good at maths. What am I bringing to the table? So then I big myself up.
The reading and also the pushing.
Yeah, I'm a very good reader, Dan. You could use some work there. I animate the stories better at bedtime. Oh, all right. Well,
you do. I'm sure you do.
I do.
Yeah, of course you do.
Yeah.
Do the voices.
Yeah.
I like it secretly when my kids go, Daddy, can you not read this? And he gets really offended. I'm like, that's right, Kai. Move away. Do some numbers. Do some multiplication over in the corner while
Pardon?
I read this.
That word was hard for you, multiplication.
Crap, I'm not good at anything. Not even talking. Can't even say multiplication. So, yes. Maths. I need to stop giving my kids a narrative for their lives and who they're going to be.
Just let them do it.
Let them be.
But there is that fine line between not letting them go on their own little merry way, but also picking up on things that they might be gifted on where, and this is the point where we're enthusiastic as parents and mothers, where we're thinking they're going to be good at that, we'll full steam ahead because that's what we do. We're their biggest fans, we're their biggest champions, and we're trying to make sure we leave no stone left unturned. If you're good at gym, you go. We're going to get you in there. If you're good at dancing, away you go, dolls.
That's right.
But then where's that fine line? There isn't, because it's either obsessive or there's I've just let you go and not encourage you enough.
Left you by that tree. Good luck in life. We probably just need that lovely, we need to gently nurture them.
Yeah, yeah,
don't
yeah.
We?
Yeah.
Sort of full steam ahead.
Well, summer
like
has
say.
Not shown interest in anything like, as I said, minuscule gym, and I'm going to explore this with her and I'll report back.
Report back.
But I'm not going to stress her out. Or myself. I'm not going to stress myself out.
No.
Sitting there at those classes and she's hating it. For what?
So you can tell everyone?
Yeah.
Is it so you can, you know,
if
tell
she wants
the
grandparents? To do it, tremendous. If she doesn't, well, stuff it.
But also it is a part of that as well as telling. I like to tell my mum, oh, she's doing this and it's really great. And I think, is this why you're doing it? So that you can tell your mum that she's really into it?
Nah.
Or oh, I don't know.
Save your money and go through the bottle on the way home.
Wow.
Get yourself a little Merlot and cook some dinner and watch Schitt's Creek.
Great advice on on being a great mother. And people have, we just lost half of our listeners based on that advice, Chanel. In the end, Chanel, look, I think we need to give our kids a break. They're their own little people. They're not us.
True. And don't enroll them in the Look of the Year contest.
Please don't. I don't think it exists. It's not 1991.
So the funniest thing is my granny then reneged on that. So she was like, it wasn't her fault that we were all there, which it was, because it was her bright idea to put me in this bloody thing. And then because I didn't win, she was like, they're all at fault for not finding me absolutely radiant as a child.
Next year she's on the panel of judges. We have Chanel. Look at this bloody
old There's my wee wench. She's beautiful. Look at her with her wee dog's body skirt.
Is she like that with your kids now? Does she
sing
their praises?
So there you've got the grandparents being biased. Then the great-grandparents, well, they just literally, that she
Another
walks
level.
In the door and she will throw every terrible food option at them. There's tiny teddies, there's chips, there's this. Look what Gigi's got for you. Come here, my wee weds. Come here, my bear.
And does she also have like Scottish? What the hell was that? A Scottish accent. I'm trying to do Scottish without teeth in because she's your great grand. Does she have teeth?
She's got teeth.
Oh, well,
false
done.
Teeth, but they're teeth. They stay in.
So she's got like more of a Scottish whistle.
No, because she's never without her, maybe a little bit of a whistle, but she's never without her teeth. No, because that wouldn't look right. She's 88, goes and gets her hair done every week, wears her nail polish and does all her bits and bobs. She still thinks she's
the bee's
knees. She actually probably would enter the Look of the Year contest.
And here you go. And here comes Gigi, 88 years old, wearing a dog's body skirt. And look at that dog, which she's squeezing herself into, but go granny. And and she's pulling her teeth fell out.
Yeah.
She's broken a hip on the way back round. Oh, dear.
Never do that again. So no. Granny hates the Look of the Year contest because she thinks they're all screwed up because they didn't find me brilliant.
Oh, man. Well, I think, look, let's leave it to our grandparents to, you know.
Navigate our lives.
No, I was going to say that. Leave it to the grandparents to sing the praises of our kids and pump them up full of lollies mainly. But, you know, give them all everything in the world and we can be the balanced ones.
We can. Dan said actually has this analogy. When they come to me, I'm going to feed him with chips and chocolate and soda pop and all this sort of stuff. I'm going to shake them up and hand them back. And I'm like, that's not funny.
Nothing funny about that.
Nothing funny about that, Graham.
Graham.
That's his name.
Graham. He needs a water cooler in his hand. Wet his carpet.
Soggy carpet.
You're such a clever carpet. What? You're such a clever shag.
Okay,
like
try it again. Yeah.
Okay. Soggy carpet. You're such a clever shag. You're such a clever shag. You are. Oh, 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 oh.
Motherhood, A Beautiful Nightmare is produced by Soundbowl Productions and hosted by Chanel Franklin and Tamara Linke. We would love to hear from you, so please email us on motherhoodabeautifulnightmare@gmail.com. Or just for kicks, check out our website at motherhoodabeautifulnightmare.com.
Also, if you enjoyed this episode of Motherhood, A Beautiful Nightmare and can find 2 minutes in between managing those little nutters, we'd be so grateful if you could rate, review and subscribe wherever you listen to this podcast. Hey, word on the street is it helps people find us.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.